tonight I want us to look at escaping the people-pleaser trap. The people-pleaser trap. Now, we all know that we're not going to be able to please everyone, or most of the time we can't please the majority of people within our life, or the ones that we come in contact with. But people-pleasing goes a lot deeper than that, than we look at with our focus of, you know, I got to please Uncle Jim when he comes. When the family gets together, you got to remember that you got to watch out for this one and the feelings on that one, and don't say this and don't say that, because they'll think that I told you what you told me not to tell. And it's just a whole focus of people on pins and needles a lot of times, afraid that they're not going to please someone, afraid that they will do something wrong. Well, as you find, Apostle Paul said, and it's probably in one of the scriptures, that he said, if I attempt to please people, then how could I please God? So what we have to look at on escaping the trap, because we think because of our Christian conviction, we were raised believing, okay, you be at peace, you show restraint, you have mercy, you forgive, you do this and you do that, because you're a Christian. These are the things that you must do. For one thing, to become a Christian has nothing to do with the things that we must do, especially with other people. The focus must be in our heart to please God. And if you please God, I can assure you that you will not be pleasing other people. Jesus said that the same people that hated him, the same individuals that had the problems against him, will have a great problem against you as one of his servants. So if Jesus didn't please him, and one thing you'll notice about Jesus, he never attempted to please him. He did not attempt to say, well, you know, you're right, Pharisee, for bringing that up. I can see your side of the story. Jesus never said that. He said, you're wrong, and you're wrong. And so therefore, because he stood for what God the Father told him to stand for, he was making enemies. Don't you remember, once again, Moses, who the greatest enemy to Moses was the Hebrew nation. They were sort of the ones that got mad at him. Why? For one thing, he took them out of a good thing. They were getting all the pheasants that they wanted. They were getting well taken care of. And they sort of enjoyed the slavery. The slavery of the world meant that they didn't have to think. Now, I know we said that's a little extreme. It might be a little extreme, but it's a fact. Folks, there are many people that do not want to accept responsibility for their life. They had much rather let the other, another human being be responsible for them. Well, you know, I wouldn't have done that if you'd have told me that I shouldn't have done that. And we do that throughout our life. Kids do it all the time, don't they, girl? Yeah, what a smile. But you and I are called by God to be different. So Jesus showed us what that difference is. I have said nothing that my Father did not tell me to say. Jesus reiterated many times in his ministry that there's not one word that came out of my mouth, says Jesus, that my Father did not give me to say. Now, after being called into the ministry, I have been around pastors that will let the other pastors know that they have never spoken a word in the pulpit that Almighty God didn't tell them to speak. Well, that's a bunch of garbage. Now listen to me, folks. As a human being, every one of us get caught up in life, get caught up in hurt, and you know, I'd give anything over the years to be able to go back and take some of the things that I said back. But I will tell you this, I've never wanted to take back one sermon. But the sermons and preaching the gospel is one thing. But adding on with your little 1-2 punch is another. Why do we do that? It's because that we are angry and broken from within. We get hurt. And we get hurt to the point that so often we lose it. Would I ever lose my temper? Yep. I sure have. And was stupid every time I did it. Right, Debbie? Escaping the people-pleasing trap. Proverbs 29:25. It is a dangerous trap to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust the Lord, you are safe. Okay, right now, in whatever job or whatever facet in life that you are engaged with different personalities, the hero of today will be a hated villain of tomorrow. Today they may praise you for a stand that you take, but the very ones who will praise you for taking that stand will curse you when you take a stand they don't think you should have taken. Jesus was that way. They got mad at Jesus because he would tell them, you did not come out to worship me because of the miracles. You came out because you wanted me to feed you again. They weren't fooling him. So they got angry. And here was a time to when I can see the humor in this one. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples, meaning all the followers. And there were, there was 200 or 300 there at this time. And he says, unless you are willing to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. Well, they all looked at one another and said, he's a cannibal. They looked at him. What had he done? He had given them a spiritual command they took literally. And he was giving them the spiritual food, knowing, though, that so many that were there professing to be followers of him were only there to see the miracles or to supposedly have a miracle done on them or on their family. And Jesus said, if you're spiritual, you will understand this. So therefore, they took it literal. Many do that today. Why trying to please everyone is a trap? Any of y'all ever fall into that? Trying to please everybody walks in the door and you get trapped up in it? Because it's as soon as you're working you're doing it out of a good heart. I mean, you really want to do this thing right. And then all of a sudden, we find out as we get older, there's no right way to do life. I cannot follow the calling of God and then tell you this is what you need to do to follow God. Because I don't even know what the Lord is going to be calling me to do tomorrow, what kind of a ministry. It'd be foolish also to condemn someone else for a ministry that they are called of God to do, that you're coming on. God's not going to call you to do that, and God's not going to call somebody to do this. Well, how do you know what God's going to call somebody to do? Are you that individual? Do we know the mind of God? Every time we start reading the scripture, we have questions within our own life. Many Christians will question their salvation. Many Christians will question their salvation. And the proof of their salvation is in their questioning their salvation. Because the focus then is, I just don't feel like I'm serving God right. Am I really a Christian? If you weren't really a Christian, it wouldn't bother you. So it's a way of the Lord bringing us around. we must question or ask ourselves questions about each day and each thing that we get involved with. Attempted people-pleasing, number one, causes us to miss God's purpose for us. Because I can tell you right now, there will be people out there, when you say, yeah, God has called me to do something, what's he called you to do? I think he's called you to do what I tell you to do. So attempted people-pleasing causes us to miss God's purpose for us. Now, God's purpose again for you and me, it's all to serve him through his Son, but it's in a different type of a category, which you say, well, what, how do you categorize them? You can't, because every personality is different, and not one has ever been like any other. Now, only God could do this, to where none of us, and the call that God has given us, none of us will ever witness anyone else doing what God has called us to do. Well, there's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of Christians out there who minister. Yes, but only your personality is personal. God will not create anyone else like you. God has created you for a purpose in a generation that he purposefully wanted you in. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts. Now, many people will want to please someone, but not necessarily for the love reason that we think. They want to please someone to trick them. They want to please someone to a point to where that person would show more attention to them. And our purpose is to please God. If we'll stick to that and not stick to the idea, well, this is what Larry said that I ought to do with my life. God says, I'll let you know what I want you to do with your life. Well, how do you know that it's God? Here's a good way to know that. If what you say God has called you to do, if that calling is fulfilled and you do what God has called you to do, then you know that it was God's call. For instance, God called me to preach. Brother Theodore McCubbins told me on the Sunday that I said God called me to the ministry, Brother Theodore McCubbins said, okay, Larry, you preach next Sunday. So what did I do? I preached the next Sunday, shaking and trembling and all of that, which I thought the shaking and the trembling was there simply because of the people. Couldn't have been that, because I'm still shaking and trembling when I get in the pulpit. But the focus must be, God will look at the motives of the heart. If love is not found in the motive, that motive is not of God. If God says, okay, he called me to teach, then you're out to teach. Yeah, I'm not saying that you know everything in the teaching at the beginning or any of that, but you will be given the ability to teach, and you'll be given the ability to preach. You cannot get educated into the ministry, and that's very difficult to explain to some folks. You get called into the ministry first, and then you seek all the education that you possibly can that will help you to rightly divide God's word. But you don't get the education and then I'll do this after I get educated. Doesn't work. John 5:41, Jesus is speaking. Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Now, think about that. The people of today would say, well, that wasn't a very good Christian statement for anybody to make, that your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Yet that's what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees. He could care less about receiving their approval because he was speaking the word that came straight from the Father he wanted to please. So he wasn't a people pleaser, and they decided to kill him. He would have been a great rabbi, but his calling was not that. Attempted people pleasing, number two, keeps us from growing in our faith. My relationship to Jesus Christ is a personal relationship just like yours, just like any other Christian's is. Therefore, my faith must grow, but not my faith in people. I must put all the trust and all the hope for my life and for a ministry God has called me to into the hands of the one who called me. You do too in your life. John 5, verse 44. You try to get praise from each other, but you do not try to get the praise that comes from the only God. So how can you believe? Leaders of nations love the praise of leaders from other nations. Leaders of the corporate realm love praise from leaders of their opponent corporate realm, because it makes them feel good that their enemy in business has praised them for being wise. Actually, what they was doing is trying to find out more how they got it done so they could stick them in the back later on. But God said, your faith must grow through me. You cannot grow in faith on your own. Let's look at this. Faith is also a gift, is it not? How can I have faith trusting Jesus Christ if it was not Jesus Christ that showed me I could trust him? Everything that I have or ever shall have is a gift direct from God. But the greatest is the gift to love and the gift of faith. So therefore, as I've said many times over the years, when people say, Lord, I need more faith, and we don't understand why our faith is not stronger. And yet, if you would listen closely to the voice of God that's within you, God saying, I don't waste anything. Use the faith I've given you before you ask for more. If you will not use the faith that Christ has given you, why would he waste it with giving you more? Therefore, we must have faith in the only God. People pleasing really breaks our heart. Trying to please everyone, trying to please family members. Oh gosh, folks, trying to please yourself. Have you ever tried that one? You know, I don't even remember when I ever pleased me. Don't you get mad at yourself over the dumb stuff that you end up doing? I can't believe you did that, Larry. You know, and I don't know what's worse, standing there arguing with yourself in a mirror, hoping that nobody hears you. Don't ever do that out in public. Always wear that little thing in your ear, remember, for the telephone. Yeah. And then you can talk all you want, and they think you're really talking to somebody. Attempted people-pleasing, number three, it leads us to sin. Exodus 23:2, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Kidder, did you ever hear your mother say that if somebody goes jumps off a high cliff, does that mean you ought to go jump off?
I've heard that quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I've got And you went and jumped anyway, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And but don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Have you noticed that in our life we learn more about what is wrong? And a lot of times you'll have your peer group. Look at the poor kids. Gosh, I feel so sorry for them. Peer group is devastating. You got kids, well, again, Kentucky, the highest number of teenage suicides. And the majority of it it's not drugs, it's peer pressure. It's wanting to be accepted and not accepted. And then you grow out of that when you don't really care whether any of your peers care. You know, you don't care. Why? Because you know that God loves you just like you are. But sometimes, well, I'll tell this on myself, though. One of the great desires I had when I went into ministry was that I wanted to be accepted by the other preachers. I wanted acceptance within associations and the get-togethers and all of this. And for several years, I went through that and was, you know, part of the old gang and all. And then as I grew in ministry, for some reason, I began to have a problem with folk, fellow pastors that would condemn members of their church. And, of course, I was a chaplain, so I wasn't involved in the church activities as they were. But it continued until I got to a point I thought, this isn't right. When we come to our meetings, why are we talking about, hey, can I give you Deacon so-and-so? Yeah, if you'll let me trade Deacon so-and-so to you so they can come and listen to all that stuff. And finally, it got to a point with me to where I didn't want to go to the meetings anymore. And several of my friends, Dr. Phipps and them too, you know, would shake their heads. Why are we wasting our time listening to this? Let's pray for problems within the church. Let's lift one another up in prayer and quit joking about members of the church. You get caught up into that trap, and I can tell you, folks, that leads to sin. That leads to condemnation of a brother or a sister. Okay, if they can put me out of the ministry, it's just proof that God didn't call me to it. So therefore, it's in the hands of God. If anybody can keep you from preaching the truth, then I wasn't called to preach, people. That's good. So I would say, fine, do your worst. And over the years, they have attempted it. And I'm still preaching. But I'm still preaching because God called me. It's His ministry, not mine. But I hurt for people. And I hurt for many people, the many Christian brothers and sisters that despise me. And I hurt for them because I'm sorry they despise me. And I look in the mirror and I can think, well, no wonder. You're a jerk, Vance. You know, and you go through all of this stuff. But I hurt for people like that. I hurt for people who try to hurt me because I feel sorry for them because I know I'm called to preach. Therefore, they're hurting themselves, attempting to stop it because they have to fight God. And if I was never called to preach, then I don't want to be in the pulpit. But I still am. One day I will cease to preach. My prayer is that ceasing will be my last breath of air on planet Earth. Because I really want to go out preaching. If I get to go out preaching, I'll go out shouting. And if I get to go out shouting, finally, Randy Kidder will get inspired to get a little excited over who Jesus is. 1 Samuel 15:24. Saul confessed to Samuel, "I've sinned. I've trampled roughshod over God's word and your instructions. I cared more about pleasing people, so I let them tell me what to do." Folks, please don't. Learn from others. Lawrence Phipps would always say, "Well, Larry, we got to remember, if we're going to steal a sermon, let's steal the good ones from somebody." Always do that. Here's one thing you will find. A person that's called by God to preach will never preach the same sermon twice. A person that's called by God, that's why we can steal outlines from one another. Because the way one would preach that concept, the other one would go in a complete different direction, and it's all the Word of God. And people, I remember Lawrence one time getting asked the question, "And Lawrence, what sermon book? Do you still get your sermons out of a book, Lawrence?" And Lawrence said, "Yes, I do. It's called the Bible. You ought to try reading it sometimes." And the focus being each one gifted to do what God's called you to do. Is there not more ways of ministering the Word of God than preaching? Singing. Of course, singing is preaching, folks. Singing, what are you saying? Do we not sing praises to God in this church? "I've sinned," Saul says to Samuel. And God finally told Saul, "Yeah, you sure have." People pleasing, number four. Luke 16, verse 15a, Jesus is speaking. Well, number four is, attempted people-pleasing causes hypocrisy in our lives. You make yourselves look good in other people's eyes, but God knows your heart. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:18. You may brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval. It's got to be who Christ is. That's correct. And each one of us have a called ministry. Even Paula. We do. We have a called ministry and as a special personality. Nobody will be able to reach the people like you can as an individual. Okay. Attempted people pleaser number five silences our witness. If I attempt to please people and I walk into a group that do not want to hear anything about Jesus Christ, then will that not then silence my witness? So therefore, I am to please God. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to get thrown out when you start talking about Jesus, but what it does mean is this. If we want to make everybody happy, well, listen to it today in our generation. All you need to, look, you can use a generic name of God, but don't use the name Jesus. We're hearing that all the time. That name is a name beyond all other names. If for no other reason, we could believe that knowing that the world does not want to hear about Jesus. Therefore, they say he didn't even exist. Then why are they so afraid of his name? If there is no power in the name of Jesus, why would the enemies of Jesus want to stop you? Well, you know, he's not even real, so you just go ahead and rant and rave about Jesus. That's not what they say. They said, "No, he's not real, so don't you dare use his name around my child or around my family." John 7:13. No one had the courage to speak favorably about Jesus in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the leaders. Does anybody notice that again today in our generation happening? No one had the courage to speak favorably, make the jokes, say all the blasphemous things concerning him. But if you lift his name the way it should be, then you're going to get in trouble. John 12:42-43. Many people, including leaders, believe in Jesus, but they wouldn't talk about it publicly out of their fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. Now remember again, you know, you and I would say, okay, so I'm kicked out of church. What does that mean? No, in this generation, that was their social security, the synagogue was. If they were kicked out, they would not get help with food. And so therefore, don't mention Jesus' name, because if you do, you're going to be expelled and no more food help at all. They loved human approval more than they loved the approval of God. Man, you know, as I say in every sermon, I hope, I will stand before God one day. And I'll stand before God, though, blessed because of who Jesus is. Therefore, why would I not want to stand and say, I'm proud to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because I will never stand before the evil of this world and be forced to worship them, because it's not going to work. How can I deny a Christ who's done nothing but bless me and done nothing but good for my life? Who said that, Randy? Polycarp. You know, you do me that way all the time. You do know that, don't you? Jesus puts it this way. Here's the way we need to remember it. In Luke 9:26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of him when I come in my glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. So, what am I more interested in, and which one am I more interested in pleasing? Because, folks, you might please a group today, but tomorrow, if you just say something that they don't like, then you're no good. One day, they'll sing your praises. The next day, they're ready to preach your funeral.